Law 36. Disdain things you cannot have. Ignoring them is the best revenge. By acknowledging a petty problem, you give it existence and credibility. The more attention you pay an enemy, the stronger you make him, and a small mistake is often made worse and more visible when you try and fix it. It is sometimes best to leave things alone. If there is something you want but cannot have, show contempt for it. The less interest you reveal, the more superior you seem. To disdain something is to show that very thing that it is unworthy of your consideration or respect. So it's the idea of choosing not to let things bother you by showing them disdain. When life throws you things that may really affect the average person, you choose to show disdain instead, to stay stoic, to stay stable. Because you can just as easily choose not to notice the irritating offender, to consider the matter trivial and unworthy of your interest. That is the powerful move. What you do not react to cannot drag you down in a futile engagement. The best lesson you can teach an irritating gnat is to co-sign it to the oblivion by ignoring it. But if it is impossible to ignore, then conspire in secret to do away with it, but never inadvertently draw attention to the bothersome insect that will go away or die on its own. And this insect is the metaphor for our life's problems, the people who may affect us in a negative way. That's what it represents. I'm going to quote Ballister Grayson, an incredible writer and philosopher who's littered all throughout this book. You should take very few grievances to heart, for to do so is to give yourself groundless worry. It is a topsy-turvy way of behaving to take to heart cares which you ought to throw over your shoulder. Many things which seemed important at the time turn out to be of no account when they are ignored, and others which seem trifling appear formidable when you pay attention to them. Things can easily be settled at the outset, but not so later on. In many cases, the remedy itself is the cause of the disease. To let things be is not the least satisfactory of life's rules. Ballister Grayson. So in other words, by ignoring people, you cancel them out. And this can unsettle and infuriate them. But since they have no dealings with you anymore, there is nothing they can do. And this is the offensive aspect of this law. Playing the card of contempt is immensely powerful, for it lets you determine the conditions of the conflict, because the war is waged on your terms. You are the king, and you ignore what offends you. And this tactic will often infuriate people. Half of what they do is to get your attention, and when you hold it from them, they flounder in frustration. Keys to power. Desire often creates paradoxical effects. The more you want something, the more you chase after it. The more it eludes you. The more interest you show, the more you repel the object of your desire. This is because your interest is too strong. It makes people awkward, even fearful. Uncontrollable desire makes you seem weak and unworthy. Now, psychologically, this makes sense. I've experienced this firsthand myself, and I know many others have as well, especially through the communities of relationship pickup artistry communities, where these individuals would teach other men and women develop this confidence within themselves, but also how to not make the mistakes of being too forward, of being too aggressive in their approach towards women. It's no secret that coming on too strong or coming on too aggressive and desiring too much can have the effect we just talked about, can often repel the opposite sex. Can repel this person away from you, and suddenly, once they thought you were attractive, now they think the opposite because of your approach, your demeanor, your tenor that made them repel you. Unfortunately, in what I've seen, some experiences I've had, that sometimes people take this too far and now they begin to play games and have then gone too far in the opposite direction. So find the middle ground. You need to turn your back on what you want, show your contempt and disdain. This is the kind of powerful response that will drive your targets crazy. They will respond with a desire of their own, which is simply to have an effect on you, perhaps to possess you, perhaps to hurt you. And if they want to possess you, you have successfully completed the first step of seduction. If they want to hurt you, you have unsettled them and made them play by your rules. Laws 8 and 39 on baiting people into action talk about this in depth. Contempt is the prerogative of the king. Where his eyes turn, what he decides to see is what has reality. What he ignores and turns his back on is as good as dead. That was a weapon of King Louis XIV. If he did not like you, he acted as if you were not there, maintaining his superiority by cutting off the dynamic of interaction. This is the power you have when you play the card of contempt, periodically showing people that you can do without them. It's also this idea of not letting people take you for granted by showing contempt and disdain, by backing off, by turning away for a period of time. People may realize your true value and worth. Or on the flip side, they may realize that you actually had no value and worth. So it can really reveal who you are and what position you have within a certain relationship or within a certain circumstance. But so often people lose their emotion, they lose their cool by paying attention to such little events that really have no major significance in the long-term effects of their lives. They pay attention to the puny enemy. By paying attention to this small enemy, you look puny, you look small, and the longer it takes you to crush such an enemy. Another danger, if you succeed in crushing this irritant, or even if you merely wound it, you create sympathy for the weaker side. Critics of Franklin D. Roosevelt complained bitterly about the money his administration spent on government projects, but their attacks had no resonance with the public who saw the president as working to end the Great Depression. In 1971, the New York Times published the Pentagon Papers, which is a group of documents about the history of the US involvement in Indochina. Henry Kissinger erupted in a volcanic rage, furious about the Nixon administration's vulnerability to this kind of damaging leak. He made recommendations that led to a formation of this group called the Plumbers to plug the leaks. And this eventually led to a chain of events that actually led to Nixon's downfall. So in hindsight, and reflective in the reality, the publications of the Pentagon Papers was not a serious threat to the administration, but Kissinger's reaction, his eruption of emotion, made it a big deal. So in him trying to fix this one problem, he created another. A paranoia for security that in the end was much more destructive to the government. Had he ignored the Pentagon Papers, the scandal they had created would eventually have passed and blown over. What does this mean for you and me? Great question. Oftentimes, we want to try and fix our mistakes. It's very tempting to often want to fix every little ailment and mistake we make within our relationships and within our lives. Oftentimes, the harder we try to fix these things, the worse we can make them. It is sometimes more politic to leave these things alone and let time pass and see if time can be the ailment for these problems that we once thought we needed to take care of. In other words, patience. Instead of inadvertently focusing attention on a problem, making it seem worse by publicizing how much concern and anxiety it is causing you, it is often far wiser to play the contemptuous aristocrat, not deigning to acknowledge the problem's existence. There are several ways to execute this strategy. First, the sour grapes approach. If there is something you want but you realize you cannot have, the worst thing you can do is draw attention to your disappointment by complaining about it. An infinitely more powerful tactic is to act as if it never really interested you in the first place. Second, when you are attacked by an inferior, deflect people's attention by making it clear that the attack has not even registered. Look away or answer sweetly, showing how little the attack concerns you. Similarly, when you yourself have committed a blunder, the best response is often to make less of your mistake by treating it lightly. Among equals, this tactic might backfire. Your indifference could make you seem callous, but with a master, if you act quickly and without great fuss, it can work to great effect. You bypass his angry response, save him the time and energy he will waste by brooding over it, and allow him the opportunity to display his own lack of pettiness publicly. If we make excuses and denials when we are caught in a mistake or deception, we stir the waters and make the situation worse. It is often wiser to play things the opposite way. The Renaissance writer Pietro Aretino often boasted of his aristocratic lineage, which is of course fiction, it was a lie, since he was actually the son of a simple shoemaker. And when his enemy finally revealed this embarrassing truth, word quickly spread, and soon all of Venice was known to Aretino's lie. So imagine someone caught you out in one of the biggest lies of your life. What would you do? Had Aretino tried to defend himself, this would have only dragged him down. His response was masterful. He announced that he was indeed the son of a shoemaker. But this only proved his greatness, since he had risen from the lowest stratum of society to its very pinnacle. From then on, he never mentioned his previous lie, trumpeting instead his new position on the matter of his ancestry. So he used what was once his biggest weakness, flaw, into his biggest strength to create his legacy. He didn't dwell on the fact that they caught him out in the lie. He doubled down on it and went all in. Remember, The powerful responses to niggling, petty annoyances and irritations are contempt and disdain. Never show that something has affected you or that you are offended. That only shows you've acknowledged a problem. Contempt is a dish that is best served cold and without affection. Reversal. You must play this card of contempt with care and delicacy. Most small troubles will vanish on their own if you leave them be, but some will grow and fester unless you attend to them. Ignore a person of inferior stature and the next time you look, he has become a serious rival, and your contempt has made him vengeful as well. That is the danger of this law, underestimating people. Learn to distinguish between the potentially disastrous and the mildly irritating, and the nuance that will quickly go away on its own. In either case though, never completely take your eye off it. As long as it is alive, it can smolder and spark into your life. Law 36. Disdain things you cannot have. Ignoring them is the best revenge.